it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Episode 457, After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close.
Have you seen the names of what they're the options for the Utah team?
Oh.
No. I didn't think I was going there, eh?
No. I thought you were going to say something about my shoes that you hated.
That's a whole different conversation. I gave you my honest opinion. I gave you, like, I don't know what more you want from me. I thought I was giving you a compliment, but you showed me a pair of Nike Air Jordan looking sneakers, or were they Nikes? I can't remember.
Is it Nike or Nike?
Okay, whatever. They were white. They had like a, I don't know, a puke color brown. You remember that? So
it's
not
morally, it's an orange.
And you asked me, would you wear these? And I said, I wouldn't be caught dead in those.
I said, look what came in. And I said, do you like these? You said, do I like them? And I said, yeah. Would you wear these? And you said, would I wear them? No, I wouldn't wear them, but I could see you wearing them. And I'm like, what does that mean?
And what did I say? Come on. Pat yourself on the back.
You said they're like a young hip.
Yep.
Style of shoe.
Damn right. That's a young hip. You got to be in between 15 and 25 to wear those shoes. But because your brain is like an 18-year-old, absolutely you could wear those. You got a certain style. You're a very hip old guy.
See, that's the thing. I don't want to. I'm not trying to stay young. I'm not like, it's not like a, it's not like an attempt to hold on to my youth. I saw these on, they came across my feed. Actually, they came across the after.
Would you just turn 44, 43?
They came across the After the Whistle Instagram feed. And I was like, shit, those are nice.
Get a new pair of sneakers that for a 20 year old.
I didn't, but I didn't. For a 15 year old. 20 year old. And so Do you know what the SB stands for? I just learned this morning what the SB stands for. And it almost made me send them back immediately. So for those wondering, I got these. They're called Nike Ashad. I don't even know. They're orange. Or they're white with an orange swoosh and a little orange on the back and the toe. But do you know what the SB stands for? Look how flat these are. I wore them around the house this morning because they came in yesterday. I put them on this morning and I was like, I don't know if I like these. They're not very comfortable. And then they're completely flat.
What I'm telling you right now, those are very cool shoes. Do you know I would buy my 16-year-old those shoes and he would absolutely love them. But you, as a 43-year-old, you're 43?
44.
Okay. Oh my God. 44 years old. You are the youngest 44-year-old I know in my life. And I know a lot of people. I know a lot of 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds. I know 40, 30. You at age 44, you are the youngest 44-year-old I know by far. You are like a small child in a 44-year-old old man's body. And I'm going to tell you, you and your style and your lifestyle and your hipness, I'm giving you a compliment here. If you're not reading into it, let me help you out. I'm giving you a wicked compliment. You can wear those shoes right now and absolutely kill them.
Okay. Well, guess what?
You throw those wheels on me. People are immediately going, look at this old guy wearing those friggin' young shoes.
I don't know about that.
That's wrong. That's
I'm taking
just
these
wrong.
Back. I'm sending them back. But the SB stands. Do you know what the SB stands for?
No.
Skateboard. I had no idea. I had no fucking idea.
Okay.
So I got two options. I can go buy a skateboard and a Tony Hawk shirt, or I can send these fuckers back.
No, I'm going to tell you this. You wear those shoes.
I swear
those shoes look great.
When I bought these, I thought they were tennis shoes. I didn't even research them.
Tennis shoes? Are you on drugs?
Yeah, look at the soles. They have the tan bottom.
They look like moon boots, man. Looks like you're like walking on the moon.
They still look like fucking moon boots, Riv. Oh my God. These things are sick, but they're just.
You put those on. You put those on and you wear them because you deserve it. And you can hold those and make them your own. There's no question.
I just put them on again.
How do they feel? They look really comfortable.
I feel like I'm in high school again. I feel like I'm getting ready.
Well,
to
you and Skinzy, man, singing High School Musical, you know, wearing your moon boots.
You can't go a day without bringing up Jeff Skinner. You can't go a fucking
day. Okay, my bad. Can you edit that out, please?
No, I'm not editing that out.
Yeah, you're always in to sewer me.
So if I send these back, it has nothing to do with what you said. I don't know if I like them. I don't know if I like them at all. They're a little too high on the side for me, but they're not a high top. They're almost like a cross trainer type height. But we'll see. Anyway, thanks for the attempted compliment there. I bet a lot of kids on the Sabres would wear them. I bet Zach Benson probably has a skateboard.
I guarantee. I bet he has those wheels. There's no question about it.
Speaking of wheels, if you've been hurt crashing your wheels, don't wait. Call Salino Law. Call the Yates. Call 888-888-8888. Car crash? Call Salino. Okay, so enough about the shoes. What were you going to tell me?
I don't even know. You lost. Listen, you're killing me with my train of thought because you're asking me what I said 10 minutes ago. It's gone. I think I was talking about Utah. Was I talking about Utah?
Yeah, you were.
Because I have it written down here. I have Utah logo. You know what? And I'm curious. I love this. The 20 options out there that people have provided.
What are they?
Survey.
Let's hear them all.
Okay. Well, there's Utah Frost.
No.
No. Okay. Utah HC. I don't even know what that is.
A hockey club. That's hockey club.
Okay. Okay. There you go. Yeah. Okay. Utah Powder. Utah Mountaineers. Utah Freeze. Utah Mammoth. Utah Black Diamonds. Utah Blast. Utah Caribou. Utah Blizzard. Utah Hive, Utah Outlaws, Utah Yeti. Now, here's the thing. What the hell is a Yeti? Is a Yeti like the friggin' mug?
It's like cooler.
What? What is it? I swear to God.
We're gonna name the team after the mug.
No, after the Yeti mug. Dead serious. What is a Yeti? Do you know, is it something? Because I don't think they're naming it.
Okay, so I'm not editing this out. I'm going to guess what a Yeti is. I think it's a mythological creature, almost like a white Sasquatch or Sam Squamch, as Bubbles would call it in Trailer Park Boys.
So he's like Bigfoot.
Is it? Did you look it up?
No.
Look it up. What is a Yeti?
I'm just getting all these bags, and I need a new cooler. Look at these. Oh, my Lord. Anyway, I'm losing my thought here. I don't know what to look up. Am I looking up Yeti monster or something like that?
It's a mythical creature.
God, how'd you get that?
Because I feel like I've seen what a Yeti is before. The term Yeti comes from the Nepali dictionary and means abominable. I've always had trouble with that word. Abominable snowman.
Anyway, yeah. I like that. Yeti. Okay. Squall. Fury. Glaciers. Canyon. Venom. And Utah Ice. So.
What was the IHL team? Was it the Utah Grizzlies?
I think that rings a bell to me, but
they had an American Hockey League team there in Utah for years. It was the Utah Grizzlies, I think.
I think you need something fresh and new.
None of those are good.
How you don't that? Like the Utah Yeti?
No, I don't like the Utah Yeti.
Utah Blizzard?
Maybe the only one.
Utah Glaciers, Utah Ice. I don't know.
What?
I think you can make all these work. I don't care what it is. I'm more.
Are these realistic candidates, or are these suggestions?
Are realistic, I think. Yes.
From who? Is this some
friend? This is coming from his own company. This who? Is coming the... from his own company. And they provided this survey. They came up with 20 options.
There's Utah Grizzlies logo.
There you go.
Logo. It's, yeah. It's a nice, that's a terrible, those are terrible names.
No, they're not terrible.
They're not terrible.
They're not terrible.
Utah Yeti, the Utah Glaciers, the Utah Black Aces.
I like Utah Yeti. I think you make something sick out of that.
Say mascot. Does a mascot become relevant here? Are we taking?
Yes. Yes, it does become relevant. Yes, it does.
Fuck off.
Man, are you getting crusty? You got to bring the kids into this.
I like the Utah HC.
No.
Utah Hockey Club.
Oh, my Lord. Come on. Seriously.
What?
Now, they need something that's fun. I'm more curious about what colors they're going to have. Because I think this is probably one of the most fun they're going to have, you know, finding the name and finding the colors and the design of the jerseys and stuff. I think that would just be just off the chart. It would be amazing. This looks like a lot of fun. This looks like this owner is pretty dialed in and ready to rock and roll.
Why can't they keep coyotes? Are there no coyotes in Utah? I liked coyotes.
Well, why would you do that? You want a fresh start. This is a fresh, this guy did not, he doesn't want the coyotes. The coyotes have been an eyesore in the NHL for 25 years.
But that wasn't the coyotes' fault. Don't blame it on the coyote.
It's not the coyote's fault, okay? But I'm going to say the coyote sucks, and they need something. They need something fresh. This is a new beginning for an organization that you have an owner that has lots of money and that's very involved with these sports. Does he not own a basketball team?
I think he does. Does he not own the Utah Jazz?
I think he does. So
if he has the Utah Jazz, why not the Utah Rock?
All right.
What?
We got to get this guy's number. We got to be on this panel.
Because this panel fucking sucks. It's hard to believe that.
I think they did a good job.
If he hires people to do that kind of a
Blizzards,
job,
Venom, Fury, Yetis, Outlaws, I think there's lots of great
things.
Outlaws
are not bad. What else is synonymous with Utah? Google things that are synonymous. Things that are synonymous with Utah. Utah State. State bird, the California seagull. The Utah gulls. Cooking pot is the Dutch oven. The state cooking pot is a Dutch oven.
All right. Well, let's leave this to rest. We can come back.
The state
once
emblem
kind of...
is a beehive. So what about the hornets? Well, I guess that's a hornet's nest.
Yeah.
State fish, the Bonneville cutthroat trout.
Yeah.
The state flag is Utah State's. It's the beehive state.
All right. Let's move on here. We're not going to solve this.
Hey, why not? You could call the rink the beehive.
You've lost me.
What do you mean? Like, these are.
What'd you think of the Florida Boston
really?
Game?
That's a hard transition over. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah. You've lost me with your beehive.
No. I'm coming up with facts here about Utah. I like the bird is the California gull. So you could be the Utah gulls.
It's not even on the list at 20.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Those are the finalists?
Those are the 20 that his company came up with to put out there for a survey.
Okay. Well, the survey is going to come back with those all suck.
No, so that's not true.
They need to have a plan B. The Rocky Mountain elk became the official state animal in 1971. The insect is the honeybee. It could be the honeybees. Come to the beehive. Fine. We'll get out of this conversation. I hate the fucking names that you mentioned. Okay? I'm sorry.
I don't mind. I don't mind a few of them. So I think there's a lot to work with in those 20 and see if they start to kind of push some of those forward. And I'm sure they've got lots of time. Got lots of time to brainstorm on this and one's going to feel right. But I'm more interested in the colors in the logo, colors on the jerseys. Okay, that's what I want to see.
So let me do this then. Let me just do one more search for you. The colors of Utah. How about that? Because the colors, and I'll even spell it without the U, of Utah.
The Utah flag features two irregular horizontal lines creating three segments of blue, white, and red.
Don't we have enough of that?
I think we do.
How many teams? Well, there's one. There's the Habs. And then who else is blue, white, and red?
Yes, but they have yellow in it too. So the higher horizontal line forms five peaks. At the center, a blue hexagon contains a smaller hexagon outlined in gold. So it's red, white, and blue with yellow in the middle of it. So don't think there's someone in the league. I think you're going to see some yellow, some blue.
And what is that in the middle of the flag, Craig?
Beehive.
Fucking beehive. But let's call him the Yeti. I love it. This is fun. Okay. Playoffs? You want to talk playoffs. Happy Edmonton lost. Love.
Are you happy Edmonton lost? Let's start with the most exciting by far. Like the game with Florida and Boston. Boston scoring first, and immediately I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, oh man, they're going to do it again. They're just going to run this series. And then you just see, you see what Florida's all about, how much firepower they have, you know, both teams are as nasty and play a team tough game, the Boston Bruins in Florida. It was awesome to watch. Like I'm watching, like I'm thinking my whole time, like why, like when's the last time you saw Matthew Tkachuk? I want you to think about this. When's the last time you saw Matthew Tkachuk fight somebody that was basically his weight class or above him, where he got himself maybe in a tough situation? When's the last time you've seen that?
Not too often.
What does he do? He literally, all he does, and he's, and don't get me wrong. Part of me, it angers me that he does this. He's always, always, always attacking guys that are not fighters and wants them to fight and gets under their skin, just like he did. Just like he did last night with Pasternak. Pasternak is the farthest thing from a fighter, even though, wow, I was shocked last night that these two leaders on their team are over talking to the refs with all the penalties that had happened. And in that time, they started verbally jousting back and forth and then decide amongst each other as they're skating back to the benches, they decide that they're going to fight. You got Pasternak that goes to his coach Montgomery and says, hey, he wants to fight. I'm okay to fight. And Montgomery sits there and looks at him and says, hell yeah, if you want that, go get it. These two guys get on the ice, drop their gloves immediately, and fight. And I'm thinking to myself, Pasternak is not a fighter. Matthews is, I wouldn't call him a fighter either, but he's certainly very physical and more robust than a Pasternak. I just, for me, it bothers me that Matthew Tkachuk is never in a bad situation with any situation that he's in with the players that he goes after. They're always, he does, and he's very smart about it. He's always going after the top players, guys that aren't fighters, trying to get under their skin. He always wants to fight, give them face wash. And he does an awesome job at it. He does such a great job at it. But it's like, if I'm a Boston fan, if I'm a Boston teammate, I am literally wanting to kill Matthew Tkachuk next game. I'm going to make it part of what I
prepare for. Do
they
have anybody that can go out there and do that, though, in Boston? I mean, I know they have a physical, well, Trent Frederick.
Yes, he would be the guy.
He is the guy.
He is the guy. He is next game. His whole mission should be to
Pat Maroon.
No, because Pat Maroon is a heavyweight and no one's touching.
That's fine. The difference between Tkachuk and Pasternak and the difference between Maroon and Tkachuk, that's fucking even Steven, in my opinion. Like, I'll tell you what, if I'm in this lineup, I'm going after Tkachuk. Now, here's the thing. It's all time and place. It's got to be a 6-1 game one way or the other. It can't be. That's the problem with this. Tkachuk is safe until a game gets out of hand. Otherwise, he is just going to continue to draw power plays, things like, you know, take even penalties, things like that. Like, it's not going to be.
And if you watched him, it's not like he's gone overboard. Like, I remember in last year's playoff, watching him play through each series that he played, get under the skin, was scrapping, fighting, irritating. Guys on the other team wanted to kill him, and he just continues to do what he does, and that's produce offense, produces stuff, and he gets under the skin and plays this nasty, puts himself out there in danger all the time. And I'm just surprised. I'm surprised a guy like Frederick, that should be his mission. I don't care about your goals, Frederick. I need you to go out and make Matthew Tkachuk feel uncomfortable every time he's on the ice, knowing that if Matthew's on the ice and Matthew sees me on the ice, he knows, oh shit, I got to deal with this guy again. But hey, he's too comfortable. Matthew Kachuk's too comfortable. You know, you have two teams that have warrior type attitudes towards them, and they play that physical presence, and all their players are heavy. And then you look at what happens at the end of the game. You have, I think it was Brandon Montour scored a goal at the sixth goal of the game to make it 6-1. And what does he do? He rubs it right in the face of the Boston Bruins, or of the Boston Bruins. And who immediately comes into the fray is Brad Marchand. There's a big scrum. There's 5-on-5 fighting. Everybody's going at it. You have Brandon Montour, who has grabbed Marchand, and I would have loved to see that fight one-on-one, because I think Brad Marchand, as much as he's a smaller man, is quite a scrappy little guy and knows how to throw the knuckles. But did you see Brandon Montour, when he was tied up with the refs and everything else, starts to mimic the licking situation?
Yeah.
I my jaw dropped, like, when I was like watching this, and I didn't catch it as the fight was going on. I saw it on social media after. But how about that? Like, do you think that is getting under the skin of Brad Marchand with that licking situation?
No, oh, that's so long ago.
Do you not think that Brad Marchand, deep down inside, is a little embarrassed that he did that? Come on,
no,
man.
No, he's cup champ, captain of the team. I don't think he gives a shit. I don't think you think he cares.
I think there's some
think
things
he,
in this
you
game.
You think he absolutely gives it? You think he actually gives a shit about that?
Yes, no, I do. Yes, I do. I think there's some things that you just go through your career, and, you know, there's things that happen that you, at the end of the day, you would do over if you had a do over, but you don't regret. But I do believe that Brad Marchand, when he looks at all of the things, like maybe the slew for to this, he might be like, I was a hockey play at the time, and, you know, it is what it is. I got suspended. I'm just going to deal with it. I don't regret it. I do believe that Brad Marchand regrets what he did in that one situation, and the 1,000+ games that Brad Marchand played, and all of the playoff games, and all of the things that he has done, which he has been absolutely incredible. He's such an incredible player, biggest rat in the game, but he's incredible. I do believe that he regrets licking. Who did he lick? I can't even remember.
Is it not Ryan Callahan?
Could be.
I feel like it was. I know it was against Tampa Bay.
Right. And I'm just kind of like, I think he regrets that one. I think if he would take anything back, he would regret licking another man's, like, face during a game, which is completely disgusting. Oh,
I wonder if he didn't mean to catch the end of his nose there. You know what I mean? When he got, I think he caught, I think it was Callahan, and I think it was the tip of his nose. And to me, that's just fucking gross. Like, the amount of salt that would be.
Right.
Snot, sweat. Just, like, just fucking gross.
Telling you, Petey, he regrets that one. Now that you think about it a little bit, I think you think that even though Brad Marchand probably doesn't have a lot of regrets in how he played this game, because that's who he is, I think at some point in time, when he's 55 years old, sitting at home, thinking about his career, talking about, he's going to regret that situation, because that's caught forever. They're going to show that 50 years from now,
yeah, when he's inducted into the Hall of Fame, he will definitely, that will be shown for sure.
Hall of Famer.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmerman dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch, find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible, because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Here's a few things that are coming up at Seneca. NHL playoffs are here, and if you've lost NHL bets, there's a chance to win back the payout.
Submit lost NHL parlay sports bets for a chance to win back the payout up to $500. Drawings on April 30th, May 14th, May 28th, June 11th, and June 25th. Check the website for more details. Here's a country band that everybody loves. They even mentioned Buffalo in one of their biggest hits. Big and Rich will be here at Seneca Allegheny Resort and Casino Saturday, May 25th. And the last one, and Craig's favorite, the Seafood Spectacular at Seneca Buffalo Creek.
Yummy.
And that's available every Thursday. For information on everything else going on at Seneca, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close.
Brad Marchand's a Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer?
Yeah. Yeah, he's not first ballot. But he'll be a Hall of Famer.
I don't know if I've put much thought into that. I'm not even sure if I can bring myself to think of Brad Marchand as a
5'9"
Hall of Famer.
He's 5'9". He's played his whole career the way he has. 1,029 games, 929 points. He hits 1,000 points. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Stanley Cup champ. World Cup champ. World Junior champ, maybe. Not, can't say that for sure. Maybe.
I don't think. There are guys that are not in the Hall of Fame.
Who would you put in the Hall of Fame first? Brad Marchand or Patrick Marleau?
Marchand. I'm not putting Patrick Marleau should not be going into the hockey.
This guy's going to finish his career with over 600 assists and over 1,000 points, over 1,000 games, Stanley Cup. He will have played, I don't know how many playoff games he plays this year, but he's got at least another three in him. So he'll be around 160 playoff games, 138 points right now. Totally relevant the year they won the cup, by the way. Completely relevant. 25 games, 11 goals, 8 assists.
Yeah.
Like, we're not talking about a...
Like, can I just go off on... You brought this guy up. Can I just ask you, do you think that Patrick Marleau will be in the Hall of Fame?
I told him yes because of his games played. I mean, I think that's Hall of Fame.
Oh, my God, man. Come on. You kidding me right now? Are you serious that because of his games played... What about Phil Kessel? Is Phil Kessel going into the Hockey Hall of Fame because he played every frigging game of his career?
I could see Kessel being a Hall of Famer.
Oh, come on, man.
What do you mean?
Come on. What are you smoking? It's the bloody Hockey Hall of Fame.
God, he's 8 points away from 1,000, eh, Kessel? That sucks. He's not a Hall of Famer.
Phil Kessel is the farthest thing from a Hockey Hall of Famer. He was a very good player in this game. When he played and won a Stanley Cup with the Pittsburgh Penguins, he was a third. He was on an awesome third line, if you remember that, right? But he played on the third line. He's a very, very good hockey player, but he is not a hockey. He's not a Hall of Famer. Patrick Marleau is a very good hockey player, but he is not a Hall of Famer. Like how many
cups
years
does Kessel
won?
Three.
How
cups?
Many years did Marleau play in the NHL? Do you remember?
Well, he was drafted in 97. Second overall pick in 97. I know
like
that.
22 years. I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame because of his 1,779 games, the most games played in NHL history. I'm not putting him in there. And I think Patrick Marleau is a very good hockey player.
Patrick Marleau had won a Stanley Cup, would you maybe be looking at this a little bit differently?
If he won a Stanley Cup, and he was a major reason for them winning the Stanley Cup,
which he would have been,
I would entertain putting him in. But right now, with what he has done,
he was a major reason as to why that team ticked the way it did. He was a big piece to that team.
No, the team sucked. Absolutely sucked. Until they absolutely won the trade with one of the greatest players to ever play the game, Joe Thornton. Once Joe Thornton got to San Jose, that team went from an average hockey team to one of the top teams in the league. Joe Thornton is an absolute super stud. He is a no-brainer, first ballot hockey Hall of Famer all day long. When I was in San Jose, Patrick Marleau was the captain. Patrick Marleau had his C stripped from him because he's not a captain. He's a very, very nice person. He works hard. He was a good teammate. I think he's a very good hockey player. But there's a difference between a Hall of Famer and just a really, really good hockey player on your team. Right?
Okay.
You know, Danny Briere, is he a Hall of Famer?
No, he's not a Hall of Famer.
He's not. Danny Briere's not a Hall of Famer, and no. you're gonna talk about Patrick Marleau not being a Hall of Famer or being a Hall of Famer.
Patrick Marleau almost played double the fucking games, man. I mean, it's not anything to do with other than that. The longevity is Hall of Fame worthy. That's all I'm saying. I'm not putting his points and his success on the ice. The longevity. Is worthy.
Okay.
Now, granted, maybe he'll just have a little booth, a little glass thing with his jersey, most games played in the NHL. Maybe that's his contribution or his time in the Hall of Fame. Maybe that's all he gets, which is definitely appropriate. But do I think he's a Hall of Fame player? No, when I think about Patrick Marleau, I don't think of him as like a Hall of Fame amazing player. But when I think about Patrick Marleau, you think about longevity from the time he was 18 all the way through. Yeah. To me, it's impressive, but I guess.
Listen, he's a genetic freak. 6'2", he's 220 pounds. He's been 6'2", 220 pounds since he was 18 years old when he came into the league. He's 6'2", 220 pounds coming out of the league. And if you see the way he was built, his legs, his ass, everything, he had the perfect hockey body. He was genetically gifted. He could skate. He was probably the smoothest skater that I've ever played with in all the people that I played with. He was the smoothest, so efficient in the way that his stride and everything. He was very, very good. But when I look at Hall of Famers, I think they're super elite. They're no brainers.
Right.
And I think Patrick Marleau, if he didn't play 1,779 games, then we wouldn't even be talking about this. Take nothing away from him though. It makes it sound like I'm shitting on a guy, and he was a.
I think you're just pissed off that he kiboshed the trip to Vegas with the whole team. That still sits with you, and that takes away his Hall of Fame status.
Yes, it does. I think that's exactly it.
We told that story way back with JR years ago. Yeah. One of
an entire team got the permission from the coach,
the GM too, and the owner,
everybody, GM. All of them knew about it. the captain of the captain kiboshed it.
Oh, I think his wife did, didn't she?
The captain of the captain. That's what I just said. She was the captain of the team, not Patrick. She apparently ran the show. And she didn't like old Patrick going to Vegas. Anyway, whatever. He's a great guy. He was a great player. Awesome, awesome player for San Jose. He's literally a legend there. But for me, I don't see him as a Hall of Fame hockey player. If you're going to tell me that he should be in there over JR, is mind-blowing.
I didn't
listen to me. Can I just say one thing?
I didn't say he should be in there over JR.
I don't even want to compare.
JR should already be in there. That's not even an argument.
Theron Fleury. These are guys that I grew up watching that I was blown away with as a young
Fleury. The thing about Theo Fleury too is what you know now about his time, Graham James, and what he dealt with in New York, and he was able to perform at that kind of a level. Yeah. Like, give me a fucking break. That guy belongs in the Hall of Fame. Just
for what he went through and what he dealt with off ice issues with drugs and alcohol and dealing with. You know, his
which
personal,
stemmed from junior hockey, probably
which stemmed
by the
from
way.
Junior hockey. Absolutely. This guy is truly I think Theron Fleury was one of the most captivating players to watch when you watched him. And that's when I played against Theron Fleury, which I can still remember. I can still remember being at a bar with him in Montreal. And I was absolutely dumbfounded. I was just in awe of this guy. I didn't even talk to him. Too nervous. I remember I went to the bar with Lyle Odeline, and Lyle Odeline's a goddamn legend. And I'll tell you this, those two guys were sitting there chatting it up in the bar, and I was just kind of hanging on the right shoulder of Odie. And I was beside myself with how captivated I was with Theron Fleury because I watched him as a kid.
We want to talk Edmonton, Vancouver at all. Your boy Dakota Joshua had a goal and two assists. Nikita Zadorov had a goal and an assist. Dakota Joshua, without looking at his stats in the playoffs, do you know what he has? This year he's played 7 playoff games.
And he's got how many points? 6?
3 goals, 4 assists, plus 3.
7 points?
Yep. He's just earning himself money.
It took Dakota Joshua longer to develop his game into something that can be... useful, highly useful in the National Hockey League. And I talked about Dakota Joshua before the playoffs even started. He would have been one that I think
but now
that
every
Sabres,
now every meeting
now every team blogger, in the bloody league is going to be
every blogger,
looking at him.
Podcaster in Buffalo, they're all wanting Dakota Joshua. Just saying, unoriginal.
He makes
William
no
Carrier too. There's another one everyone's preaching for, William Carrier.
Yeah, he's a no-brainer. William Carrier is a heck of a hockey player, beautiful skater. It's just, can you get some of these guys? And there's a lot. I'm going to tell you this. When you go and you do your research on players that you can put in your third and fourth line positions, there's a lot of options out there. You just have to sign one or two of them. You have to get them. Because if you don't get them, we're back to the same old, and you're at your drawing board again.
You know what I'm proud of? This is the one thing I'm proud of, is that for 7 years that we've been doing this, or eight years actually, since from when we started the Instigators together, we've been preaching the same thing, consistently preaching the same thing. Your third and fourth line players, you're not going to win with just star talent. You're going to win with third and fourth line players. And everyone here that listened to our show said, these guys want third and fourth line plugs on this team. That's not how you win. You don't win with fourth, fifth, and sixth defensemen. Well, what are the Sabres looking for now? Everyone's locked into looking for bottom three. Everyone around here is now fourth line experts. Everyone's a fourth line expert. Here's what we need. We need this. We need more physicality. We need more grit in our game. We need some more penalty
I've
killers.
Said, we've literally said this for 10 years.
I know.
We were talking about this when Jack Eichel was here. We were talking about how, like, did they make something special out of picking Jack Eichel? Did they do something special by picking Rasmus Dahlin or Sam Reinhart? No, these players fell on your lap. You didn't do anything to get them. Yeah. Okay? There's no heroics here going, hey, wow, we've done something special here in Buffalo. But here's the problem. It's taken literally 10 years for this organization to finally figure out that every other team in the league that is having success has top-end skill set, which I think the Sabres do have, but you need to round out with role players. Yes, the word is role players, players that play differently than your top two lines. I'm not asking for fighters. I never said go out and get a fighter. I didn't say I need a guy to fight 25 times a year. No, so anyone, I need fast. I need physical. I need energy. Yeah.
And they all wanted four lines of speed and skill. We want fourth puck possession speed, puck possession speed. Well, guess what? Now everyone's changing their tune. Now everyone wants to build the team properly. Now everyone's like, hey, here's what I think the Sabres need to do.
You got to have skill to win games, but to make the playoffs and win championships, you need role players. You cannot have six defensemen that play the same. You can't have 12 forwards that play the game the same. You can't have three goaltenders on a roster and think that you're going to compete. But listen, hopefully that this team has figured something out. Hopefully that all the yes men that Kevin Adams deals with in his war room, hopefully some of those guys finally will look at our hockey team and say, holy shit balls. We need some speed. We need energy. We need some grit, some nastiness. We need guys that will play the same way each and every single night. And then if shit hits the fan, we know we don't even have to tell these guys. These guys just know what to do. They're going to go out. They're going to, you know, do what they have to do to be successful for the Buffalo Sabres, where the Sabres are not called soft, where the Sabres are not, you know, called, well, it looks like the, you know, there's no energy tonight. Well, I don't want to hear another. I don't want to hear 25 games out of 82 where the Sabres are down 2-3 in the first period. I don't want to see that. I want energy. I want the building. The building sucks, man. If I hear one more friggin' shitty ass Jeff Skinner goal song, watch out, baby. You think I'm picking on just Jeff Skinner. I'm talking about the goal song that this person has picked. This is an environment that looks like it's a friggin' country club. That's what it looks like to me. That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard from people that are pretty damn close to this. Okay. I've heard these things, that the environment is very soft, that the environment where you're allowed to pick a goal song and you're going to be okay with having High School Musical. You think this is a goddamn joke? I don't think it's a joke. I want to win. I want to win games. And some people out there are going to say, oh, you're old and grumpy. No, I'm not old and grumpy. But I do feel that I've been around the game long enough where I know that there's certain things that you should have and there's certain things that you shouldn't have. An environment that exudes winning. You think High School Musical is about winning? No, it's a joke. It's a joke to the fans. It's a joke every time one of your best goal scorers scores a goal. You have High School Musical. And it's like, Craig, relax, relax. He picked it with his sister. That's an even bigger problem.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, sorry. Right.
You're good. You're good. You're good.
I've gone weeks without mentioning this guy.
All right, that's a good time to end this before you go too far down this rabbit hole. That'll do it for After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Reminder, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com to find all the events coming up at Seneca.